You're listening to Insight here on Cap Radio. I'm your host, Vicky Gonzalez. We just heard from Sacramento State President Luke Wood about some of the developments at the university over the past year and more changes that lay on the horizon, the impact of which will be felt by students and faculty who live, work, and study on campus. As we mentioned earlier, there have been a range of responses, some concerns, and some pushback to these big changes, and we're going to hear from one of those perspectives. Michael Lee Chang is a Sacramento State student who penned a recent op-ed in the Sacramento Bee about his experiences and concerns about the university's direction. Welcome to Insight, Michael.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
So what made you want to attend Sac State and become a Hornet?
Yeah, you know, when I was first looking around, I was about to graduate high school, and I was looking at what colleges I should apply to. And honestly, I never really thought about going to college. I mean, my mom hadn't attended college, but it's always been my mom and I, and so there's never been like a clear direction from her on what I should do or what I shouldn't do. And so, but yeah, I asked around. You know, I had an interest in political science. I mean, you know, my high school years were due to the COVID pandemic and the 2016 election, and so it became a real interest to me. And everyone I asked had said, well, you know, if you want to study political science, Sacramento is the place to be. It's the state's capital, and they have a great pathway into the legislature. And so, I mean, you know, had Sac State not been available, I really don't think I would have gone to college.
How has your experience been? You're a third year?
I'm a fourth year. Yeah, I actually have a semester left, and I've been trying to figure out what to do next. But I really love it. I mean, I love the university. I love my professors. I think it's really a university that works for anyone. And I love that accessibility. And I think that's what makes Sac State great. Mm.
So you have become a student advocate in your time at the university. You were part of an organization called the Students for Quality Education, the SQE at Sacramento State. So for those who aren't on campus and they're not familiar with this organization, what is its mission?
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty clear. It's to fight for affordable, accessible, and quality education in the CSU system. The CSU system was opened up, you know, really crafted by the California Master Plan for Higher Education as the People's University. I mean, you know, it was this promise to Californians that it doesn't matter how much money you have, it doesn't matter if you've never been to college, that there's a place for you, that if you want to take a path towards higher education, that the CSU is here for you.
And you recently published an op-ed in the Sacramento Bee earlier this month. What inspired you to write this? How long had it been on your mind? Because it does take some key criticisms and concerns with the direction that the university is going in.
Yeah, I mean, I guess on a broader level, because I think, you know, I have my experiences are at Sac State, but really, since the formation of the CSU has really been drifting from its mission of being that affordable, accessible, and quality institution. And, you know, at Sac State, I think the real wake-up point was the new housing requirement. And I've sort of just been seeing our university priority shift, and, you know, the budget deficit only gets bigger. And I'm seeing courses cut. I mean, there's a post pretty much every day on Sac State forums about students not being able to find classes they need, you know, students having to delay graduation because they can't find classes that are required for them to take to graduate. And I'm hearing about faculty and staff layoffs. I mean, I work on campus as a student assistant, and we're usually the first to go, and we rely on these jobs.
Mm-hmm. You know, I don't know if there have been layoffs, but maybe they're vacant positions that haven't been filled.
I guess, you know, the technical term wouldn't be a layoff, but what usually happens, and I know for career staff there have been layoffs, but for a lot of student assistants, usually the position just gets cut. And so it no longer exists because the department doesn't have funding, and student assistants usually don't find out until like a week before the semester starts.
When it comes to the on-campus living requirement, and we just had the president on, as I mentioned, I mean, it starts for students who live beyond 50 miles from campus, and then it will become more narrow for students that live 30 miles or further from campus. There are also other exceptions for financial hardship. Is that not enough?
I think that it tries, and I understand the intention behind the on-campus requirement. I think it is a great idea that, and I don't refute the research that, you know, students who live on campus may feel more connected to campus. I mean, I lived on campus myself. It's just, I question if there is enough housing. I mean, I lived on campus for the last 3 years, had priority registration, and I was waitlisted. And that's why I have to live on campus. I'm actually finding that it's been cheaper. But, you know, I was waitlisted. I was like number 90. And I even had that priority registration. But I think just on a bigger scale, 15 out of 22 of the CSU campuses don't have on-campus housing requirements. And many of them are actually cutting back on that requirement, making it more lenient. You know, maybe it doesn't cover sophomores. And that's partly because, you know, it's a commuter campus is intentional. It's not because they, you know, the university doesn't want students to be integrated. It's because that's what makes university work for a lot of these students. I mean, for me, my first semester, it was working five jobs. We're taking a full load of classes, supporting my single mom. And that's the story for most CSU students, is you're juggling so many different things. And college is a glimpse of a better future, but you have to make things work. And for a lot of these students, it's not exactly that normal, you know, college lifestyle that you see in movies. You know, one third of our student body are student parents. And so I think the exemptions try, but really, if we're trying to shift towards a model away from a commuter campus, because I think it's less about residential versus communal, it's more about who are we serving? You know, are we maintaining that affordability aspect of Sac State? You know, we're not exactly San Diego State or Arizona State. Sacramento is very intentionally crafted for the Sacramento region. And if we start, you know, shifting away from a model that works for the students here, you know, you're going to see reliance from students in our region decrease. And I think that's, you know, we should, if anything, we should lean on those students and really be serving those students.
Given that President Wood's own experience as a student is similar to, you know, a lot of what you just laid out. I mean, he himself had experienced homelessness and struggled in school before there was a food pantry on campus. Does that resonate with you? I mean, he's now here as president wanting the university to grow and to elevate. But does that lived experience as a student have any weight for you?
I mean, absolutely. You know, I say this with full confidence that I was really, really, really excited when President Wood became our university president. And I was really excited for some new changes. And I think a lot of people, I mean, the reason he was hired is because he was able to tell that vision and story. And yeah, there's a lot of students who have to live in their cars because they can't afford housing. It's just, I don't, you know, this new requirement has been sold as to a solution or to possibly address that student homelessness crisis. It's just, I don't fully see how requiring students to pay $20,000 a year helps them not live in their cars. I mean, if anything, that's going to have, you know, that's going to force students to live in their cars. Or more likely, it's going to get students to not want to come here. You know, I think affordability is a real big part in where students decide to go to college. And if you're being required to pay $20,000 a year to live on campus when there may be cheaper options off campus or with family, that may not exactly be immediate. And so, you know, that 30-mile and 50-mile radius only applies if it's with immediate family.
What kind of response have you received since your op-ed was published?
Yeah, I haven't received any negative response, so maybe that's a good sign. But it's been really positive, and I've really appreciated the discussions and conversations that have come out of you know, those compliments, because usually it's never just a one-word compliment. It goes into a full-on discussion about, you know, people's concerns and how they feel about university priorities. And I think it resonates with a lot of students, faculty, and staff on campus right now who are also feeling a similar frustration with, you know, the university they love and where it's headed.
I mean, finally, I mean, clearly, like, you have a lot of passion and love for the university that you are attending. Any silver linings here? Any improvements that the university has made in your time as a student that benefit the student body, that benefit the campus in the way that you would like the campus to be benefited?
Yeah, I think that I really admire and respect President Wood's academic projects. Like the Black Honors College is great. And even just the support for the Guardian Scholars Project to support foster students. I think, you know, really supporting the academic aspects of the university have been great. You know, moving sort of, I think there's other priorities that I've, you know, brought up my concerns with, especially when it comes to the stadium and athletic funding. But yeah, I think that there are things that he's genuinely done well. And I think the Black Honors College is one of them. And I'd love to see more things like that. And that also includes the Native American College.
Given that you only have a semester left, has this experience, you know, being an advocate on campus shaped what you want to do professionally in life and maybe what career you would like to pursue?
You know, I ask that myself every single day. And the simple answer is I don't know. But what I think has been really great is this, seeing this shift of, you know, students, college isn't easy for Sac State students. I mean, you know, I told you, like, the students who go to Sac State are juggling a lot of things. And it's really been nice to see sort of this consciousness. And I think it's always been there of, you know, what's the university that I want to attend? And what does this university owe me? I'm paying so much money to attend it. You know, I should be able to have a say in it. And so, you know, I've heard discussions from students in my classes who haven't even read the op-ed, who don't even know me, talking just about like, hey, maybe it'd be nice to have money for these courses that I need to graduate rather than a new stadium. And that isn't exactly to say the new stadium doesn't excite, because I think it does. I think it is really exciting to see Sac State become this huge athletic institution that draws in students. But, you know, usually you want to take on expansion in a good budget year, not when you're having to slash courses, not when you're having to make difficult choices that may lead into layoffs. And, you know, like we've saw our student fees raised last year, and that wasn't through the more consultative process of being, you know, putting it to a vote. It was simply just the small committee of people that most people have never met make a decision and makes a recommendation. And the entire process actually also happened over break. And so a lot of the forums, students weren't able to attend because they weren't on campus. And again, you know, there's this better way of, if you want to raise fees, put it to a vote. And I think we also, and that actually did happen the following semester where...
and the student body voted not to move forward with student fees, correct? Or an increase?
Right. And so when it was put up to a vote, which was for the courses to restore some of the cut courses, that was overwhelmingly defeated. But before that, when the fees were raised, that wasn't, you know, students weren't given a vote. And that was probably the more expensive. It was 4 out of 5 fees that were increased. And so now the cost of attendance will be around $10,000 a year. And, you know, we're talking about, that's just cost of attendance. You know, we're not taking into account the new housing requirement, books, food. And so, yeah, I think that I really like when President Wood focuses on the academic aspects and invests in students. But I would like to see, you know, more communication and just consulting the student body, consulting faculty and staff, because a lot of these projects, I think there's really, it disproportionately affects who it affects, in the sense that if all these administrative decisions and projects don't go well, it's not exactly administrators who pay. It's students who pay through increased fees and tuition. It's faculty who and staff who pay through layoffs. And I think, you know, in that fear, like keep fighting for this vision of an affordable, accessible, and quality Sac State and a stronger Sac State, it's to lean onto that strength of affordability. And it's just really disheartening to see costs go up every year and sort of that promise of a higher, you know, promise to higher education erode.
And we'll have to end it there. Michael, thank you for joining us and sharing your perspective.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me.
Michael Lee Chang is a Sacramento State student and the author of a recent op-ed in the Sacramento Bee about his concerns over the university's direction. You're listening to Insight here on CAP Radio. I'm your host, Vicky Gonzalez. We're back in just a moment.